Hello, my name is Wilfredo Montalvo, and we're here at Table Salts, and we're going to be discussing the origin and the history of salt outreach. So we have here today founder and president Eric Camarillo, and also Mr. Gerard.
Yes.
How do you?
Gerard Joffrey St. Hilaire.
Okay.
G-Riz. Grow a tree. Yeah.
So Eric, tell us literally like what is salt?
Yeah.
Let's start there. What is salt?
What is salt? So salt is a mobile drop-in center for people experiencing homelessness. So drop-in centers are usually buildings. You know, people experiencing homelessness can go to those buildings, get showers, laundry, you know, case management, get different resources and supplies there. Okay. So we basically, you know, salt has evolved over the years to be that, but in mobile form. You know, so we have a shower trailer, a laundry trailer, clothing and hygiene trailer. And it's really just not only to help meet the basic needs of people experiencing homelessness and being that front door, but also helping to, you know, build that trust to get them to a case manager or to help them take that next step toward ending their homelessness or get, you know, if we can, getting them even into shelter or housing, you know.
So that's amazing. But there's a word you mentioned, and it's evolved. What was salt before?
So, you know, good question. So salt, you know, and actually you two have been there from the beginning.
I mean, for sure.
So you know, when we started, it was I don't know if you remember Farrah and Connie.
Yes.
Yeah, Farrah and Connie. Well, that might have been maybe you came a little after. So I remember we would go out. Actually, I think Gerard, you were in the first pictures of one of our first outreaches. Yeah. I think in the first picture, actually. I was looking at, I was, you know, if you ever want to just kind of reminisce.
Archives.
Yeah, go through the pictures in Facebook. Just go all the way to the bottom of albums and start looking through.
I'm going to do that.
But yeah, it was just, you know, started with just a few people feeding 10 to 15 people, you know, led by Farrah and Connie.
Yeah.
And you know, it just kind of grew from there. You know, it just was a bunch of young adults, you know, late teens, early 20s, like just trying to.
I think just to add to that, it's like, I feel like we were all searching for something more. We're like, man, like, this is real life. You know, these are real people. Like, what can we do, God? You know, I think maybe we were all having our individual experiences with God. And then it was just like, oh, you too. What does God want us to do as a collective? And then we ran with that.
It was like more than just service. Going to a church service,
man, it was a lot. It was like just going to the hospital, to the I guess low income housing. Like everywhere where you can think of, where there was some pocket where God can just like get in there. He was like, hey guys, go there.
the concept, I mean, it's true. You know, we a lot of the time we're talking about our unsheltered ministry because that's that's kind of what we're doing now. But in the beginning, I mean, we started with 10 different kind of projects. And one of them happened to be our unsheltered project. You know, that was the one kind of I gravitated to the most for the most part. But we had, we're visiting nursing homes, going to Section 8 complexes, being like, you know, big sister, big brother kind of thing.
I remember that.
Going to hospital ministry,
singing to,
you know, do singing and praying with patients.
The Preacher's Club?
The Preacher's Club. Yes, we were in that together, just learning how to preach. I mean, honestly, when SALT started, it was really to help build a community of people. Especially young adults, because, you know, and now and before, I mean, young adults are leaving the church in every denomination. You know, they're having discussions. How do we keep young adults, you know, active and here? And so, you know, the one way that made sense and us as young adults trying to figure that out was service. I mean, young adults, they want to change the world, right? They want to do something with their time. They want to act on their faith. They don't want to sit somewhere in a pew in a place that isn't doing anything for the community, you know?
It's just like you want to be involved in something. Not just, oh, I'm involved in this. No, like this is actually, I'm contributing. I'm important here. I'm needed here. I'm finding a space. I'm finding purpose really in these things. And I feel like that's what Saul was really was doing in those 10 different things, you know? And for example, I found the one, I used to go to the Preacher's Club. You know, that's where I met Really? That's where I met
really
you.
Really? I think so.
Oh, is that where you could?
I think so.
I've seen you around probably, but that's where I met you.
Right, but I think that's where we were like connected. Yeah.
This is like back in 2011.
12, right? 11, 12?
Yeah. No, 2010, 11.
I think it was probably 12. It wasn't 10, but it was definitely 11, maybe, yeah, maybe 12, yeah, early 12.
Yeah. I got baptized. Wow. I became a Christian 2010. Right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too long after that. Because I left the Oakwood at 2012. So it was in that space.
2011. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, it's, you know, and when we look at, you know, when we were looking at all those different kind of projects and ministries we're a part of, I mean, I think over time we realized, like, hey, we got to really focus our efforts. Mm. You know, we're doing, you know, good at a lot of things, but not amazing at one thing, if that makes sense, yes. You know. And so with our unsheltered outreach, it grew slowly over time. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, to touch on what you said, we were doing, I guess, a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. But it shows that, man, if young people are down, it shows that young people are down. But if you, and we didn't really have anyone over us that we were like telling us what to do. We were just kind of
led by young adults,
each other, eye level. Yeah. But if you mobilize, like, you can do some awesome things for God. Of course, we might have needed more resources to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But the spirit was there.
Hence why the focus, right.
Yeah.
The drive was there.
We focused in a certain direction. But imagine if we had the drive, had the spirit, and let's say other resources, funds, whatever. Some of those other things, let's say if those things kept happening, that's nuts. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have been crazy.
It's
crazy
because it's awesome now. So imagine.
Yeah.
So
my question now is, when did you begin, when did Saul begin to just narrow?
Consolidate a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah, consolidate efforts, I guess. Yeah, so when we started, like we mentioned, it was two people, Feeding 15, the unsheltered ministry, and that continued to grow, and all the ministries really were growing.
Yeah.
With that one in particular, it grew to, you know, hundreds of people feeding 200 to 300 people on a biweekly basis.
My Brother's Keeper, right?
My Brother's Keeper is what it was called back then. Yeah. And so, you know, it
really keepers.
Yeah, really
like
keepers. No, not Cain. No, not that. Not that kind of keeper. Yeah.
I don't know him.
Bible joke. So you know, as we continued, we fundraised for our clothing trailer in 2016. We launched, and it was a way, you know, we surveyed our friends, figured out clothing and hygiene was a big need, and we fundraised for a clothing trailer. I think it was like $4,000. But that was that same year that we decided, you know what, we need to consolidate our efforts. We're being spread too thin. There's a lot of leadership, but they were spread out and focused in so many different areas. So we said, you know what, let's consolidate to put our focus more in just a few things. And I think that's when we consolidated to our hospital ministry, the one at the Section 8 complex with the kids and families there, and then to with our unsheltered ministry. Gotcha. It was around 2016 we did that. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. I remember from a distance, because obviously me and Joffrey, we went our ways for almost 10 years.
Yeah, legit.
And so from a distance, I was seeing what Salt was doing.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things for me that I was like, man, this thing is starting to like really grow, was when I saw you guys on a TV show. And you guys went from the clothing trailer to now a shower trailer. What led to moving into, like, because that's a drastic step.
I mean, honestly, man, it was surveys. We didn't want to assume what people knew, what people needed. We wanted to ask them what they needed. You know, I think a lot of the time,
listen,
when we're doing ministry, especially with the unsheltered, we just assume, hey, this is what you need.
Yeah.
Here you go. You know, but we didn't want to do that. Yeah. You know, we were in there, we were mingling with them, we were getting to know them, we're spending time with them. And we said, let's survey them. And so when we surveyed, we found out that over half were actively looking for work. Those same people hadn't showered in 3 to 7 days.
I see.
Some of them hadn't showered in up to 3 months, actively looking for work. I remember there was one guy I was interacting with, I was close to, and every time, almost every other week I'd see him, he'd be like, hey, got an interview, pray for me. You know, we pray together, we talk about it. You know, I give a little tips here and there. I didn't really know how to interview or whatever. I'm like, hey, this is what I know. I don't know. But But then, you know, the 2 weeks would go by. He'd say, hey, I didn't get that one, but I got another one. Pray for me. And this was just a constant thing. He was always looking for a job. But when I did his survey, because I had did his personally, he was one of those that was looking for work and hadn't showered in 3 months. Mm. And it's like, no wonder this guy was not able to find a job, you know? Right. And so Isai and Kathy, they were leading the initiative with the Unsheltered at that time. And they were doing great. I mean, they were just amazing. Just this was their passion. You know, they would literally, there were times where we didn't have anyone to cook. And Isai and Kathy, they'd be cooking and using their own ovens for 200-300 people. You know what I mean? Wow. They were dedicated and consistent. And so we got together as a team. And, you know, I believe it was Isai or someone had mentioned, the idea of a shower trailer. And then we ran with it, you know, we said, let's fundraise for this thing. And in 2018, we launched it. We raised about $40,000 and launched that shower trailer at the end of 2018.
And it's been a huge, number one inspiration. And it's crazy because I've seen people come and see the shower trailer and they're like, why didn't I think of this? You know, it's just so practical, you know, it's literally showers in a trailer, you know, which is an amazing thing. And the impact that it's had. I think it's been, I mean,
yeah.
Did you project or foresee the impact that it would have?
So from the beginning of Salt, I've always dreamed that we would be able to do ministry full time. This is something, you know, when we had leaders involved, when we had different people, that would be something I would push is, hey, you know, we're putting a lot of work now. You know, we're all tired. We're all in college full time, working full time. We're, you know, we're doing Salt, and that's another 10 hours, 15 hours a week or whatever it is. And, you know, but I was like, look, let's continue serving, you know, because I believe one day we can do this full time. You know, this could be this could be it. You know, we could quit our jobs and no longer have to work in these other jobs that maybe we don't have a passion in, and we could actually work and create jobs in our passion, you know, what we love to do, you know. And here you guys are here.
Yeah,
I quit my job last year, you know. Exactly, bro. God is good, man. He's good.
He is.
That is crazy. No, and it's amazing to see how God has been moving along the way, just in the year and a half that I've been at Salt, how it's just expanded and grown. What is something that for me, and I definitely do want to know this, where it's like, because a lot of people don't know that aspect, is, you know, for how many years was Salt just volunteer?
Yeah. So, going back, so we launched that shower trailer in 2018, right? Yeah. We're operating once a month with our shower trailer, clothing trailer. You know, so we're offering showers, clothing, hygiene, haircuts, and food, right? That's a lot once a month in 2018. Twice a month in 2019. In 2020, we said, okay, let's go to three times a month. When we wanted to go to once a week in 2020, in February of 2020, that's when we said, you know what? We're going to have to hire some part-time people because this is a lot. You know, logistically, to run that thing, it's a lot. So we hired two part-time people at that time. So really from 2011 to about February of 2020, we were an all volunteer for the most part, all volunteer organization.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Now put a pause there because
dedication.
Bro, you're talking about 10 years of 9-10 years of just volunteer work, aside from being a student full time, being an employee full time, other dynamics of relationship,
people,
you know,
serious.
And the fact that you have people that usually start things and kind of go away and start this and they leave. But the fact that you have a core people that just stayed with it, you know, it's truly like, how did you see God moving or sustaining you in that journey?
Yeah, it's, you know, here's the thing. Like, I think that when you know, when you're 100% sure, God, this is what you want me to do with my life, there is no stopping. There is no second guessing, you know, you just move forward. You know, and that's what, you know, that's what I believe. You know, this is what I believe God has called me to. This is what many people have believed God has called them to. And they're here. They're sold out, you know. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, and God had to confirm it to me, like, 11, 12 times. Yeah. But sure. Finally, I, you know, and that's the sure thing about God, right? God will, you could ask him for confirmation 100 times and he will confirm it to you, you know, if you're still not sure. Yeah, ask and ask. And he did. And finally, there was just a confirmation I could not deny. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm 100% in. This is what you want me to do. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so since then, since we know this is what God wanted, we know God's hand is in it. We know he's going to provide.
Right.
And that's just it. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's now, the bottom line. Yeah.
Afraid, and man. I want to ask this because I'm curious. In the journey as Salt is progressing, Joffrey, where are you in all this?
Man, where am I in all of it?
Yeah.
As in, how do I step back into, you know?
Were you aware of Salt's?
Oh, where? Okay, so yeah. So seeing things from a distance through the years, I wasn't always in tune with like social media a lot and stuff like that. So I would hear things from people. And when I would visit, like I would visit, I remember meeting like Isaiah one time when I visited. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I'd visit like in the summers. And then
you came back one time, helped me move.
Yeah,
and I helped and I got you up on Salt.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah.
So sometime before that, and I was not just living in Orlando, but I would like live out of the country for like a year and then come back and then go live for another year here. So I remember when
traveling
in, it was crazy. Yeah. But I still was hearing, I still had some connections because I remember when I went to GYC a time and I saw you there and we were catching up for you and your now wife. Mm. And I was talking to her, just like hearing what she had to say about it. But how I really got caught up was 2016 when I went to school at Andrews and Fred and Jasmine came up there. You guys remember Fred and
that's
Jasmine?
Right. Yeah, Fred used to lead the hospital ministry.
Right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because I had just came back from Korea and then went to Andrews and we're like catching up and it's like, yeah, and then this and this and this. And I was like, oh, wow.
Mm.
You know, and and it was nuts. Went through like about 10 phones since then, so I lost. And always have everybody's number. I'll probably hit you from like random numbers. People like, this is Gerard 1, Gerard
actually,
2, Gerard
I think
3,
I have,
Gerard
4. I think I have like 10 numbers.
Yeah, every time I would get like a new number, I'll hit you up just to kind of touch base.
Yeah.
It'll just be like a new number.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, you know, touching base every now and then, just seeing what's up while I was even away and out the country, man. So coming back now,
seeing like, it now,
whoa, it's like, wow, God. And just seeing how he's done a lot even in the recent, you know, two years or so. That window through the pandemic was just awesome for Salt,
you know. I think one of the things that sticks out to me the most in hearing is just commitment. It's like the word that sticks out the most. If I were to just like you know, consolidate, like, man, the story of Salt is I think of words of like commitment, dedication, you know, resilience, you know. And am I off?
Love.
No, man, that's I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, I think those words describe it. I mean, it's all because of God. I mean, we don't have these types of commitments to things that are spiritual or that are of God, they don't come naturally, you know. God planted that in each of us, and we just try to listen and follow through with his call, you know what I mean? And I mean, especially like you were saying with the pandemic, when that happened, I mean, it was a whole new test. I mean,
How was that?
That was a crazy time. You know, when we had hired people in February of 2020, right?
Oh, right.
And so this is before the pandemic hit in March of 2020. So the crazy thing about it is we've always dreamed, we believed that God wants us to operate 3 days a week. I mean, at least 3 days a week for our friends experiencing homelessness. We felt like that would be a good sweet spot to help, you know, meet their needs. And so we're aiming for that. That's why we increased from once a month to two times a month to three times a month to weekly. And we were determined, we were trying to get funding from other sources, weren't able to get it. So we said, you know, we're just going to have to do this with our followers and our donors and our volunteers. We just got to figure this out. And COVID hit. And when COVID hit, that's when the city of Orlando, you know, we had communication with them and they said, you know what, let's fund this thing to operate 3 days a week. If we did not
But that's a blessing.
If it's big, a huge, huge blessing, huge blessing. And if we did not follow through with God's calling in hiring people in February to operate weekly, we would have had to say no. There was no way during the pandemic, in the midst of all this stuff, that we would have been able to do it. Yeah. And then if we weren't able to do it, I mean, that led to everything, you know, it led to everything. Cause once we got that funding, you know, in 2020, we got about, we raised four times that we raised the year before. Yeah. And we raised about 90,000 a year before. 2020 was about 360, operating 3 days a week, offering at least, you know, six different services. You know, we hired, by the end of that year, we had eight hired people. You know, it's a steady increase. You know, in 2021, we started to add the case management. We added mail services, charging stations, storage services. You know, we added the laundry trailer in 2021. We ended that year with 25 employees.
Mercy.
You know, that year, God had helped us raise about $1 million that year.
Come on, God.
The crazy thing, too, is in January, we see when we look at our line graph of funds that we raise, the impact line graph is totally parallel to that. So what that means is the more money we raise, the more people we're able to help. I mean, that's it. And because we knew that, in 2020, in January of 2021, we came together as a team and we prayed and we said, God, we believe you can help us raise $1 million this year. And we asked God to and throughout the year asked him to help us to raise this money because we knew the impact that it would bring. And that was 10 times what we raised in 2019 and three times what we raised in 2020. And throughout the year, man, God, there's so many testimonies of what God has done in helping us to raise the money that we needed to do all of these things and to grow the way that we have. You know, just, man, it's like, you just know he's involved, you know, like you can't deny it. No one could be a part of SALT and see the inner workings and believe that God is not involved in all this. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And that leads me to something that. You know, as we're getting ready to close.
Yeah.
But there's a question that came up in my mind when you were just describing this whole thing. And it's just like, how important is it to position yourself before things are actually in place?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You know, it's crazy because, you know, we will pray for things in faith, but we won't act in faith.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So like, we'll
please
we'll
expound.
We'll pray. That when we'll say we believe that God can do X, Y, and Z, but we won't actually take the steps forward like he is going to do X, Y, and Z. And so we didn't just pray and believe that God would do this. We acted as if God would do it.
Yeah.
And he did.
Mercy.
And, you know, it's just, and you know, I've grown so much being a part of this organization as a Christian, you know, just because God he's been walking with us. I mean, he's been there the whole time. And we've seen since the start of the pandemic, we have been involved in helping to end homelessness for 950 people.
That's amazing.
950 That's people. Amazing. Last year in 2021, right? Our case management team, they're an amazing group of people.
They are.
You know, God-led group of people helped 3 in 4 people take the next step toward ending their homelessness.
Right.
1 in 5 transition to shelter or housing. Since the start of the pandemic, God has helped us to help at least 4,500 different people with 250,000 different services and resources.
Man,
it's just mind blowing.
It's mind blowing, and it's one of those things where it's like don't fly over those numbers that are being said. The fact that 1 in 5, 3 in 4, like these are like
it's big.
Those are huge amounts of people that are actually being helped, you know. And it's all simply because a group of kids, right? And respectfully, right? You guys were young.
Yeah.
We were all young around the same time.
Yeah, right. We're old now, right.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm going from young adult to adult now. I think I'm right on that.
You're
on
that,
order.
That
yeah.
Line. I'm staying.
Yeah.
I'm forever young at heart. So no, it's definitely about, it all literally began with just a group that wanted to do something and cause, you know, have service, make an impact in their community. And so they just got together and it all started with just feeding people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feeding people. Amen. Any closing thoughts?
No, anything? You go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, just do something, you know. You might have some type of idea on your heart or whatever the case may be. And 10 years from now, you may not be able to see what God already sees and what he already wants to do. But just go forward with that. Like Eric did, you know, just go forward with it and see what God will do with whatever it is that he's given you to do. It may seem big. It may seem like, but just go forward with it and he'll set it up for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And really just piggybacking on that, you know, we, like you said, we're a group of kids just wanting to do something and we did something, you know, and, you know, I think a lot of the time we're wondering, what is God calling me to do with my life? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Honestly, do something.
Yeah.
You might not know what it is.
Yeah.
You might have no idea. You might not even know where to start. Just go do something, anything, because God will speak through that.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Man, with that, Jesus says in Matthew 5:13,
let's go.
You are the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And here at Table Salt, you know what I'm talking about? Is where we're discussing it.
Got that table salt right there.
Table salt right there, man.
Okay.
You know, but the main thing about salt is that many things, but the one thing I want to just end off with is that it's an agent of change, you know, and just as the young group started, just as G's saying, just go, take what God has put in front of you and go, because you don't really know what impact you will make in the community, you know, unless you actually step out and use those gifts, you know. So thank you guys for coming this episode. And we'll see you next time.